Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the first half year 2008 results conference call of Valora. I now hand over to Mr. Benedek. Sir, please go ahead.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we welcome you to the conference call of Valora concerning the first half year figures for 2008. I am here with our new CEO, Thomas Holmöller, and our CFO, Markus Voegeli. In this constitution, we would like to inform you about the first half year 2008 results, as well as the progress in implementation of our strategy. Furthermore, at the end of the presentation, we will provide you an outlook on our Investors and Media Day on September 24, 2008 in the region Basel. It was an eventful year so far. Valora approached a lot of projects and initiated promising changes of different levels, as you can see on slide 3 of the presentation. Please let me short summarize the most significant highlight in the first half year 2008. Modification of management and board. At the level of management, we have with Mr. Vollmüller, a new group CEO, and with Mr. Niklaus, a new CEO of Division Retail. Additionally, with the three new board members, we see us prepared for the future and in a very good position to implement our strategy and achieve our target. Own brands. The successful disinvesture of the own brands unit executed in adverse market conditions generated a book profit of 8 million after transaction cost and before provisions for guarantees granted. Cevanova. In the months to come, management's key priorities will be to continue expanding and strengthening the already successful AVEC brand to foster the position in the convenience store market and to achieve a sustained enhancement of the kiosk business performance. To achieve this end, Valora have dissolved its existing Cevanova convenience store joint venture with Migros. Share buyback. Good operating performance and overall net inflow and of funds from the sale of the production company enabled us to cut net debt to a very modest level. Financing for the share buyback program now underway is assured. To date, 100,000 shares were purchased of the second trading line as of 14th of August, which is more than 20% of the full share buyback program. In a nutshell, today Valora is in a sound shape. We have now an agile, efficient and decisive board who share together with the management the same vision of the company. The implementation requires courage towards drastic change and simplification. The current dynamics have to be further developed. Valora is a promising and pulsating company. We just now started to deploy its true potential. Now I hand over to Mr. Thomas Vollmüller. He will present you some figures relating to the first half year, 2008.
Thank you, Orlando. Please let me underline as well that this is a pleasure for me to be here and to present to you the figures of the first half 2008 of the Valora Group. On slide 5, you see that the Valora Group achieved satisfactory results during the first 6 months of this year. The net sales increased by some 90 million francs, or 7% compared with the same period in 2007. All divisions increased their revenues compared to last year's, and which is also good. The growth is evenly balanced between Valora Swiss and its international activities. The operating income was more than doubled to 29 million francs versus 12 million 1 year earlier. And the Valora Group also succeeded in shaving more than 1 percentage point off its cost-income ratio, and thus demonstrating that the efficiency improvement measures, which have initiated in late 2007 and have been intensified during this year, are gaining traction. The sale and distribution of the Euro 2008 articles boosted turnover overall by 46 million. The retail division contributed 16 million, while Valora Media and Trade added 26 million, respectively 4 million in the trade division. And we have to say that in Austria, also from our side, the euro was more successful than in Switzerland. Roughly 9 million francs of those 29 million operating of the 29 million operating profit were coming from those Euro 2008 related sales. Overall, the group managed to maintain its gross margins over the first half 2007 levels. Higher sales and strict cost management discipline helped to raise operating results by 16 million and thus improving Valora's operating margin from 0.9% in the first 6 months to 2.0% in the same period in this year. Well, again, in a nutshell, the Valora Group achieved satisfactory results during those first 6 months of 2008 and set course for further success. Well, now on slide 6, let's have a closer look on the divisions. The retail division raised its turnover by some 55 million to 864 million compared to the first 6 months in 2007. The greatest increase in sales was achieved by the division's wholesaling arm, largely thanks to the distribution of those Euro 2008 items, both to Valora outlets as well as to shops operated by a number of large retail chains. Sales and distribution of Euro 2008 related products added some 16 million to net sales and roughly 4 million to the operating earnings. The expansion of our retail operation in Germany contributed as well to the sales net, to the sales growth, again somewhat 7%. The convenience store sales were up 7% again, as those 8 new EVEC stores undergoing transformation during 2007 came on stream, and those stores, I have to say, have a higher profit margin than the other Valora retail stores. The largest sales increase in absolute terms was notched up by the Kiosk Switzerland, which stepped up its revenues by more than 20 million francs. Kiosk Switzerland, like its counterpart in Luxembourg, was thus able to post revenue growth of some 5%. A closer look at the retail indicates that the division on a normal basis, that means without those Euro 2008 results, has achieved break-even, but I have to admit that these results are not at all satisfying. To reach a reasonable EBIT margin of somewhat 3 to 4%, we need to do things in the kiosk business differently than we did in the past. This would not only require reducing costs, but also significantly improving assortments, formats, pricing policy, and distribution processes. You will hear about this, or you will hear more about this on our Investors Day, which I'll be talking about you later. Well, let's go to slide 7. We come to the Valora's media operation. In the first half 2008, their sales rose by 33 million, or 12% above those in the same period of 2007. This strong increase was due mainly to the intense growth caused by the Euro 2008. As I said, it's especially in Austria where we had very good results. The division's higher turnover is also reflected in the clear improvements in its operating income, which rose 6 million francs to 90 million in total. Some 26 million francs of this increase came from the distribution of Euro 2000 articles in Austria, Luxembourg, and in the Ticino. Some 5 million of it is effectively going to the profit. Which comes from the Euro 2008 items. While the overall press market contracted, Valora's media managed to increase its press sales by 4.7 million. In Austria, the division benefited from a fresh distribution business conducted with two new publishers signed up during the period, which were Egmont Ahab on one hand and Marquardt Media on the other side. By expanding its subscription business and through the other initiatives, Valora's media management is establishing alternative sources for future growth. The market growth in sales and earnings cannot be obviously expected to recur in the second half of 2008, as those revenues from the soccer-related items will probably not be repeated. Let's come to page number 8. On this slide, you see the Valora trade division, which experienced an increasingly demanding market environment in those first 6 months of 2008. On one hand, you had large increases in raw material prices, which were put a lot of pressure on prices and margins, and on the other side, you had a rising Swiss franc. The Euro 2008 again helped a little bit, which added 4 million in the Valora Trade's first half sales. Well, it's all remarkable that the division still managed to increase its turnover by another nearly 1% to 393 million, and by focusing on more profitable product lines to raise its gross margin by another half percentage point to 19.8%. During the first quarter, it was a very tough business for them. In the second quarter, they really caught up, and the Valora Trade were signing up new principals, introducing new products, and intensifying its development of new categories. Thanks to those initiatives, the outlook for turnover and operating income in the second half of this year and also on into 2009, in my opinion, is quite favorable. Recent price increases should also have a positive impact. The initiatives taken during the period, however, meant that the cost rose above the 2007 level, so the operating income for the period declined slightly to 7 million Swiss francs. Well, now I hand over to Markus Voegeli to guide you through some financial aspects of the first half of 2008.
Thank you, Thomas. Ladies and gentlemen, on slide 10 and 11, I would like to guide you now through the most important financial figures below the operating profit and, of course, the balance sheet. When you go to page 10, you'll see that actually the translation from the operating income down to the net profit line from continuing operations has been pretty successful. This is mainly thanks to two points. A, we've managed in spite of adverse exchange rate impacts, to come out with a net financial cost line at around 2.6 million, which we consider a very good result. This is mainly thanks to the low net debt position, as we'll see at the balance sheet figures. Secondly, we are showing a tax rate with 21.1% that is at the lower end of a normalized and expected bandwidth of 22 to 25% as communicated earlier. On the line net profit from discontinued operations, you'll find two major economic circumstances reflected. One, we have consolidated, or we had to consolidate, all the operating result from own brands up to the effective date of the sales process. And secondly, all deal-related transaction costs, as are book gains, reps and warranties, provisions for reps and warranties and sale costs, etc., have been netted into one figure, which we show now at 5.5 million. This is an increase compared to last year and mainly driven by the book gain, as Mr. Benedict has already mentioned. Net group profit is up at 26.6 million, which is more than double the figure of last half year, which was, as we all know, disappointing. On page 11, I would like to draw your attention only on a couple of key figures. A, the cash. We are now sitting on more than 200 million cash, which puts us in a very comfortable situation to execute on the already started share buyback program. Let me say a note on that. We have already executed 20% of the contemplated 500,000 shares to buy back. And we are in a good position financing-wise to execute at that speed. Secondly, shareholders' equity is at a very comfortable 46%, more or less at the same level as by the end of the year or mid-year last year. And net debt at 8.5 million basically means that we are more or less net debt-free at the moment. I think you will agree that this is in fact a good base for going forward and tackling the challenges of the future. With this, I would like to hand back to Thomas Vollmöller, who will provide you with some insights regarding the outlook and the forthcoming events.
Thanks, Markus. It was a challenging and really eventful first half year 2008. Nevertheless, we accepted the challenges and we have progressed so far. There is still a lot to do in order to achieve our already communicated targets. Follow me, please, to slide 13. This spring, Valora announced two major targets which are based on the full year 2007 closing. One was to increase of net sales of 3-5% per annum and a growth of earnings of 10-15% of annum, which would mean for this year somewhere in the area of 62-64 million Swiss francs. What are really the drivers behind those two targets? Well, first, the allocation of resources to core business. With the sale of the own brands, which Marcus just explained to you, which have took place majorly in this spring, we have fulfilled this promise and we really concentrate now on the things that we are focusing on, which is on one hand the trade business, on the other side the retail business, and thirdly the media business. To increase the number, secondly, the growth through stronger focus on convenience. We are very positive to increase the number of our VEC shops significantly within the 18 months. We have communicated already that we want to have by the end of next year over 100 stores. Since convenience products and the food has usually higher margins, this should lift our profitability. Thirdly, take advantage from market opportunities. Besides of organic growth, we are as well interested in M&A activities as far as the market offer opportunities. This can be on one hand in the retail area, like for instance in other countries, as well as in the trade business, which obviously would have a very nice position if it would grow even further internationally. Being one of the biggest trade companies in Europe, it would help us to have an even bigger regional spread. Fourthly, increase quality and efficiency through our new location of logistics. And I have to add, it's not only location. As we communicated this morning, our new location for logistics will be Egerkingen in the middle of Switzerland. But we also will replace a whole array of different IT systems by one standard system. And thirdly, we will look for alternatives to have a more flexible and a better press distribution. I would like to mention that this is really a major project for Valora, but I'm very confident that we will succeed and that at the end we will have a much better quality and service level for our partners, especially our media partners in our logistics than we have it today. One reason why I believe in this, that we now have a really strong and capable head of logistics on board whom I fully trust to do and to conduct this project. And yes, we also will have some significant cost saving by this logistics project. The payback of this project is about 1 year. Fifth, the development of a lean organization and an increase of efficiency in central functions. Currently, we have several projects ongoing regarding these issues, like introducing our SAP system and throwing out a lot of old system by centralizing our IT, by concentrating really only on our core skills in IT, as well as introducing shared service functions, for instance, for HR and our accounting. And sixth, the merger of all our offices here in Muttenz, close to Basel. The goal is to increase the quality of the workflows here in one location instead of having it at three locations in Bern, in Zurich, and in Basel, and implementing, obviously, quicker and better decisions. This will, besides, help us to move forward and enhance our common corporate culture. Based on this given group strategy, given the strategy that has been communicated to you, the group's new management is now conducting in-depth analyses of Valora's businesses, and in a very short period of time, we have identified the necessary steps going forward, and initiated several projects already. The results, or the details of those projects and the results, which we expect, will be presented to you in detail on the Investors and Media Day, which will be held on September 24th in 2008. On slide 14, you will see the key focus area which you can expect on this day. One, developing and strengthening our key competencies in our retail business, in our media business, and in our trade business, especially in areas like category management. So which is the right assortment? What do our consumers expect? What is the right distribution and sales organization? Two, in harnessing the development potential of the convenience store sector, and accelerating the growth of our VEC units, as I already said and mentioned, as well as obviously taking opportunities of market opportunities that come across. Three, achieving efficiency, but not only efficiency, also effectiveness, by enhancing the profitability and the quality through all our business area, This includes not only the big logistics project and the even bigger or the nearly as big IT project, but also all corporate functions. And number four, also hear about what we are doing on soft factors. We try to foster a stronger corporate culture by concentrating our activities here and doing a better leadership job here in Mutenz. We also will introduce conduct, but we also promote entrepreneurship with our people by introducing a share-based incentive scheme for management. All these strategic objectives, core initiatives, and plans for their implementation are currently under development, and we will present it to you on September 24th, 2008. Well, thank you so much, and now we are very open to your question. Thanks for your attention.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Our first question comes from Mr. John Cox from Landesbank Kepler.
Hello, Mr. Cox. Yes.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon. Basically, I have a couple of questions for you. My first question concerns the retail business in H1. You're saying it basically broke even once you strip out the impact of Euro 2008, but you actually reported 20 million francs EBIT in H2 last year. Your business is not seasonal. I want to know what happened to that 20 million francs from H2, which basically looked like it evaporated. Is there something that you've had to do? Is there some particular problem unit? Maybe you can just elaborate on that one. That's my first question. The second point is obviously Mutenz. Can you just remind me what do you have it on the books for? Because obviously if you're moving all the logistics operations, I guess ultimately you might actually close down that Mutenz building or sell it off. Maybe you can just tell me what you have planned for that. A third question, just on the new logistics site, I can't imagine it will just be plug and play. You will have to actually spend some money on bringing it up to the necessary standards. I wonder if you just elaborate on that a little bit. And then just a general question on CapEx. You're obviously talking about lots of different schemes there. I wonder if you just give us an idea on your CapEx assumptions for this year. That's my first set of questions. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks, John, for your questions. Let me repeat. Your first question was on the retail business and what happened to those 20 million. Number two was on what happens to the Mutenz building, or what happened to the Mutenz building. Number three is what will happen in Egerkingen and what is the investment we will take there. And number four is the question on CapEx and the split up of CapEx. Is that correct? Okay. Let me start with the retail business. And as I said before, and you know that I'm new. I'm not really happy with the level of the retail business has currently. I mean, it is more or less the expectation people had here in the house. And obviously the euro helped us this year, this first half year. But overall, we are in somewhere in the area of in between something between 0% and 1%. The last half year. On the second half had some positive impacts. There were some extraordinary effects. Marcus might want to elaborate a little bit. Last year we had some good services business because we had some lotteries, so there were some positive effects in the first half. Last half of last year, in the first half of this year, we were lacking some businesses, like for instance this lottery and service business, which we're not doing as well as we expected. But anyhow, the overall level, and fully agree with this, is for me personally disappointing. And whether it's 5 million, 0 million, or 10 million, it's simply much too low, given our 1,500 stores that we're having and where we want to go. And as I elaborated before, we need to, yes, we do need something on cost, but we need really to work on our assortment, we need on our prices, and we need especially to work on the distribution processes we have in the bank. So this is probably the answer on number one. Marcus, can you say something about the extraordinary?
I can only confirm this and confirm that there has not been a single kind of traumatic event happening in the first half of the year that evaporated part of the profitability of the second half of 2007. About half of the extraordinary items that we communicated positive items that we communicated end of 2007 have actually shown up in retail, so that is part of it. Service revenues is a second impact in the region of 4 to 6 million. And then there is a small seasonality in the kiosk business, but it's not really big. And the gap is actually a problem, yes.
Okay, the Butens building, we are currently looking for two separate alternatives. One, the first opportunity is we stay in and rent out the logistics building to some other people who need who have a different logistics where you can use this building for, and there's companies that could use this building. And the other alternatives, we really move out here and we sell off this building. We have already two companies outside who are interested in buying this building, so we still have some time because we want to move out here by the end of next year if you move out, and we have some time to sell it off if we want to. Otherwise, we stay in and we rent out the logistics part. Number three, no, it's obviously not a plug situation in Eger King, and on the other side, it's the, as you probably know, the old Denner logistics center, so it is very well fitted and very well suited for a logistics building and for our type of business. The bigger investment we need to do is also on the IT system. We want to have a new IT system. We come with you with concrete numbers once they have been finalized on September 24. But overall, as I said, the payback of the investment is less than 1 year. It's about 1 year. On CapEx, we plan about 50 million CapEx as probably every year, which is mainly going into retail and into the IT projects. We are so far currently quite well optimistic that we keep this 50 million limit. If something comes additionally, some opportunities like M&A or things, we are still able to obviously go over this 50 million, but so far it doesn't look like it. So this is the four answers, John. Fine.
Yeah. Can I just come back with a follow up? You mentioned this 3-4% margin in the retail business. Just wondering, when you might get to that. It seems again we're getting promised jam tomorrow for gruel today. Do you have a time frame when you can actually reach this level, or should we expect pretty average results for another 18 months or so before we actually start to see more progress on the retail business? And then the second is just, again, how much is that Moutens building on the books for? I seem to remember it's tens of millions of francs, and obviously if you did sell it, I'm not sure you're going to get that amount for it. I want to just clarify that. Thanks.
Okay, so first question on the 3-4%. You can't nail me right now on exactly the timetable. We are currently in the process of doing projects on putting on a time scale when we want to get those 3-4%. Just taking the state as it is, looking at the company as it is, looking at the locations we are having and looking at the people we are having, we have to make those 3-4%, and I think we have, especially Kasper Niklaus, my new colleague on the retail side, has great and new ideas to come up with that, and we present to you a timetable as well as going forward on September 24. But this is the area which we want to reach. And the question on Moutens, probably Marcus can tell you something.
Yes, John, you will appreciate that we don't disclose single balance sheet items, especially given the plans that we have with the building. But you are right, it is a significant position. And to give you some guidance, it is a high two-digit number, but it's certainly below the three digits.
And we are so far the indications we got from the market is that if we sell it we will make a book value on it probably, so we are quite confident on this one.
So you think you make a book gain on it rather than
we are early in the process, so let's wait and see. And if not, as I said, we do have always the opportunity staying in this building and renting it out to logistics, because Gardner's a classical pallet logistics company could use it easily. For our type of business, it's very unsuited right now, and our capacity right now, it's really going, the capacity we need is really not fitting in it anymore.
Okay, well, thank you very much, and good luck, Thomas.
Thanks.
We now have a question for Mr. Alain Hubert from MainFirst.
Cooper from MainFirst. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mr. Vogeli. I have a couple of questions. Just to follow on what we have just heard about the costs. I mean, as I understand, it is a process that you will go out of Muttenz. But what could be then the investment overall for the new logistics side? Could you give us some kind of guidance and time frame on that side? Secondly, when we talk about guidance for the year, this revenue growth you give here, 3 to 5, is that all organic or do you calculate already some M&A growth in there? And thirdly, could you give us some kind of a guidance for 2009? As I understood in the past, that the guidance you gave was not only for 1 year, but for a couple of years. Could you help me out there a little bit, please?
Yes, okay. No problem. The question on the CapEx logistics is... as I said before, we will tell you on September 24. We just had it, and we were just finalizing on some things. So I don't really want to exactly give you numbers on this. It is a relatively it's not a very high number. We will need for this capex because, as I said, the building's there and it's relatively well suited, and we will it easily. We will have a good payback and exact numbers you get on September 24. The 3 to 5%. My understanding so far is the organic growth that we are seeing for our type of business, driven by market. Condensed market is growing. The German market is growing. So there is not a major inorganic growth included in here, which we see for those 3 to 5%. So I'm not talking about like 10 little stores we're buying here and there, but not the major inorganic acquisition we think in those 3 to 5%. And the guidance to 2009 is obviously exactly the one that Orlando has given you earlier this year, which is the 3 to 5% in revenues and the 10 to 15% in EBIT.
Thank you. So that has not changed. Just about follow-up questions on AVEC. Some kind of potential in Switzerland that we heard and saw in the press. So what could be the potential then for AVEC stores and what could be the potential of sales per store? And the third question on that, what could be the break-even point for AVEC stores? How many stores do you need to be break-even on EBIT level?
The good thing is already the EBIT, we are break even, we have already with the stores we're having today. So the question is always, when does a new store break even? And it should be in at least in less than 1 year is what I target for. We are just right now doing a master plan for our VEC, and again we will tell you this on 24th of September. Sorry that we have to postpone all our answers, but this is obviously one of the key things we will tell you on September 24th. The 100 stores that we have seen so far is at least a short-term realistic target. How many stores we can do in Switzerland would develop a lot, again, what our competition is doing in there. So we so far can't give you a number on medium-term targets, but by the end of next year we want to have those three digits with AVEC. The average store makes more profit and more revenue than an average kiosk, obviously. So it's a pretty good business.
Thank you very much.
We now have a question from Mr. Björk Uven from Gold Peaks Capital.
Yes, hi, gentlemen.
Hi, Mr. Björk.
Hi. I have three small questions. My first question would be on cost savings. How much cost savings are you targeting within what time frame? I know it might be premature since you've only been with the company for about 2 months to talk exact numbers, but you must have done an analysis by now and be able to indicate a ballpark range and if it is included in your EBIT growth targets. My second question would be, could you give some details on the management compensation scheme? What kind of thoughts have you made there and a little bit more detail on those kind of things? And I know it's early in the second half since there's only 1.5, 2 months into it, but can you give some indication of what you're seeing in the first 2 months of the second half? Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Björk. Thanks for the question. First on cost saving, number two on the compensation schemes, and then the third on July and August. I'd probably take number one and three, and Marcus, you take number two. Or should we... Okay. On the cost-saving piece, obviously we are, as I said, we are in a very intense process right now defining where we can get efficiency increases, which is, as I said, not only efficiency but also effectiveness increases. To just give you a ballpark, I want to have in 2010 at least a 20 million lower cost base as we have today, which is then obviously part of the EBIT improvement that we need for... to match our guidance. There is projects in there, as I said, logistics will help on that. The IT is obviously a significant piece of this, having a lot of systems today and really going down to one system and really focusing on only those things that we really want to do in-house. And obviously, we also have some other areas like in HR or like in finance where we will help. Building shared service centers will help to reduce the cost. So just to give you a rough figure right now, I want to have at least 20 million lower cost base by 2010 or within the year 2010, for the year 2010. The management compensation schemes, we obviously have the Verwaltungsrat has installed a stock-based bonus program for the top management level, including the head of logistics, the head of IT, and the top people in the company, which is already installed now and which will have put a significant part of our incentives on the development on stock prices. And my understanding is the Verwaltungsrat is, and then we will be thinking on how we can develop this further to the rest of the group. Today we have an EVA system, so people in the company are have a short-term bonus, which is measured by the EVA increasement every year. This is something that at least we want to keep as well. So we probably will have a short-term bonus piece, which comes from the EVA increasement, and the number two, which has to do with the stock price. But so far, we have a clear development of the incentive program and compensation scheme for the top management is now installed, which is already targeted or which is linked to the development of the stock price and the value of the company. To July and August, so far we are happy. We are slightly above budget, slightly above last year. We are above last year and we are slightly above budget, so no consideration right now that we couldn't meet our targets by the end of the year, and we are sleeping quite well right now. Mr. Bjork, that helps you?
Yes, thanks a lot. Can I just have a short follow-up question then? So on the cost savings thing, when are you expecting to see the first results?
Cost savings
efforts.
We will see some of it obviously next year already. It depends very much on which kind of project it is. If you take the logistics piece, as I explained earlier, it will take until the end of next year. So we rather have next year we have restructuring costs and we will have a double logistic cost next year. So the real cost saving of the logistics piece comes by 2010 or will start in 2010. Other pieces like in IT or in HR will already come next year.
So am I right in assuming that IT will be a little bit more quick wins than on the logistics side?
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much.
Our next question comes from Mr. Patrick Hasenbeller from Bank Sarrazin.
Hello.
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Three
questions, if I may. Is there a chance that you can increase the group financial targets in the light of the measures you will take? Then second question, how many employees are concerned from the move of the logistic facilities from Muttenz to Egerkingen? And the last question is, have you noticed recently a change in consumer behavior due to the more uncertain economic outlook?
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks a lot for your question. Can you do me a favor and repeat the first one? I didn't get it really.
First question is, you have taken or you have announced several measures to ensure objectives. And my question is there even a possibility that you could increase possibly net sales and EBIT targets?
Okay. Thanks for the question. I got the questions. No, we are sticking to our guidance on the 10-15% on EBIT. If things are coming across and we see that some of our measures are working better than we expected, we'll come back to you and tell you. But for the moment, we need those measures to increase the EBIT by 10-15% every year, because we do have a changing business, as you know, and I'm quite sure that with the measures we have installed now, we get those targets. That's for sure. Number two, logistics. We are about 300 people that have to move from Muttenz to Egerkingen. We help them, and we offer to everybody the opportunity to have a job in Egerkingen, so there is no kind of social plan whatsoever, and we don't, and we hope obviously that everybody that works here goes into Egerkingen, the Egerkingen plant. And on consumer behavior, there is a there's some in some different areas of our business, there are some different consumer behaviors. What is good is that, like in convenience, there's an unbroken trend for convenience stores. We don't see any kind of trend against convenience, even though people have less money in their pockets or beginning to have less money in their pockets. There's one thing which is interesting for us, like on tobacco, where people used to, the tobacco market itself obviously is going down, but we have a structural shift from large packages to small packages, because people obviously don't have as much money, and by price increases from tobacco, people go more for a single packet than instead of those, how you call it in English, the bigger packages, which again is interesting enough, helps our business, because the kiosk is the place where you buy the small tobacco pieces, and even though the market itself is going down, the tobacco, even just piecewise, is going up in our kiosk business. So there are some areas where we see, even if you don't think about it, a favorable development for us.
And is there a difference between Switzerland and Germany concerning consumer behavior?
Well, from my former insights, obviously the situation in Germany is worse than it is in Switzerland. The first half year in Germany was bad, and in retail and in Switzerland was +5.4%. So obviously we do have a different situation in Switzerland than we have in Germany. But also our German business does a good job and working quite well.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Our next question comes from Mr. John Cox from Landesbank Kepler.
Hi, John again.
Hi, thanks for taking another question. I just heard you say restructuring costs. I'm just wondering, when you start taking restructuring costs, will it be this year and will it be next year as well? Do you envisage that with this, some of the activities you're thinking about? And then the second question is, you're saying, you're sleeping easily at night at the moment, relatively comfortable with how things are going. Can I assume that you can at least match last year's H2 EBIT? It was about 40 million, I think. And you're saying you may be a little bit above that. Can we just pencil in maybe 40 plus one or two, and then add what we have for H1? Is that a fair assumption of how I should be doing my back of the envelope calculations?
Okay, I'll help you back up the envelope calculation. I'll come back in a second. Number one, the restructuring cost. Again, sorry to postpone you on the September 24. We come up with a whole plan for logistics then and tell you a little bit more about it. We start in November this year with moving to Egerkingen, and we will start very slowly this year. So there will be some double logistics cost on two sites this year, but it's a very very limited number. Next year obviously will be a more difficult year on this, but again it's paying out quite quickly, and exact numbers you get on September 24. In terms of the guidance, again, I said before, we are confident we make the 62-64, so subtract the 29, you get somewhere in the area of 35. 35 is, if you take last year, we had 40, but in the 40 there were 10 million extraordinary costs, extraordinary profits in there, different ones, Marcus could explain to you. So the real operating profit last year, second half, was 30. So when we make the 35 that we want to make for this second half, we are already better than last year. So this is again what we are targeting at.
Okay, just to you've got the big day in September and you'll present everything, but basically has some of the old initiatives you had, you know, the sandwiches and whatnot, and some of those test stores in the kiosk, is that now all thrown out of the window, or is that still part of the overall plan? I just wanted you guys, to come back to, what happened last year and what happened this year. I got the impression that, things may have been painfully slow under the previous management team, but it was moving in the right direction. I get the impression now you guys are maybe trying to reinvent the wheel, and as a result, we could, as I say, come back to this, gruel today and maybe next year, and maybe you get some jam, in the way distant future.
Okay.
So I just want to, is some of those pilot projects, are they being scrapped, or is this still the way you're looking to go forward, convenience, retail, the rest of it, that sort of thing?
Well, I mean, there's many questions in your question, and Kasper Niklaus is obviously evaluating all past projects that have been taken, and we will build on some of them, and some of them we say, well, we won't continue. He's here 7 weeks now, so please allow us another month to come up with a clear plan on how we go forward in both in convenience and close, both in the event stores as well as in the kiosks. There will be some of the old parts we will continue. We don't reinvent the wheel. I mean, this would be time consuming, but I'm sure we do other things in addition. Plus, we will increase speed, which is very important to really get grounds now, because we really have the feeling that to make reasonable profits in the kiosk business, we need step changes, and we hope to show you on September 24 those step changes where you have the feeling, yes, people are going in the right directions, and you feel confident that we help you, that it works.
Okay, thanks very much.
If you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone pad. Our next question comes from Mr. Urs Petelam from Bank Sois Oppenheim.
Hi, everybody. Hello. I have four questions, if I may. Taking your guidance for 2009, you are saying that you want to grow on EBIT level 10 to 15%. If I take, let's say, the base of 64 million for 2008, that includes roughly 9 million euro 2008 impact. So that means if you would exclude that, you have quite ambitious targets. Does this 10 to 15% for 2009 EBIT growth already include this 9 million, or would you say no, we have to adjust our 2008 target by this 8 million euro soccer impact? Then the second question relates to charges. Normally when a new CEO is coming in and presents new initiatives and speed, that's normally also connected with charges, restructuring charges. Can you say or can you exclude that you will announce huge restructuring charges on September at the Analyst Day? Third question, regard to the cash inflow from the divestments. Have you seen all the cash from the disposals? And the fourth question is a strategic one. Is trade for sale, or will Valora trade remain a core business of Valora? Thank you.
Thanks a lot. The third question on divestment, I would like to have Mark to do, Marcus, and I would take the other three questions. The guidance for 2009, yes, it is 10 to 15% on top of what we ever make in this year. And yes, you're absolutely right. We will have to make up for the sucker piece which we have this year. So one of the key challenges we are having is to find new product, new assortments, new ways of replacing this. And this doesn't make the challenge smaller, but as I said, both Kasper Niklaus and myself, we are confident to match those. And again, probably after September 24, you are confident together with us. Restructuring charges, whatever a new CEO does. I said already, logistics is obviously a piece that we will have to talk about on September 24, and we will put a price tag to those, and you can expect those on September 24th. The last one was
trade.
Oh, trade. Oh no, trade is not for sale right now. We are we are confident that trade is a good business, and I personally do like and begin to like this business more every day, because it's really an interesting business. We are in a, we are a European market leader in this kind of business. We are really improving, being more professional than the others in there, and I think we do have a competitive advantage there. So for the moment, I feel we are rather in the mode of looking what other alternatives we can to add on to this business. And as long as we don't have any kind of other alternatives, I'm to invest in trade and increase the value of this company also by increasing the value of the trade business.
Okay, as far as the third question is concerned, I can tell you that the sale of own brands has been executed roughly by one-third by mid of the year. So two-thirds of the cash, so to say, has come after mid-year and will be booked in July, or has been booked in July.
Can you give me the amount of how much cash you still see?
It is... between it's a high two-digit number, close to, but not a three-digit.
Okay.
Our next question comes from Mr. Patrick Allen from Credit Suisse.
Hi, Mr. Good afternoon. Most of my questions are already answered, but nevertheless, can you still elaborate a little bit more on your guidance? I still have problems to see how you want to achieve this 10 to 15% growth next year on the EBIT line. To which extent this also includes acquisitions? Is it possible that you can also make a guidance, you know, on an organic basis, i.e. how much you would see EBIT growth, including any possible acquisitions? And then the other two questions, if you could elaborate a bit more on the different product categories within the kiosk division, how they have performed. And you have also mentioned that you have won significant principals, how much you can basically quantify the impact, more or less, for the second half.
Okay, for the... The first two questions I can answer to you. The third we have to getting some information on, because I'm really, I don't have the exact numbers on those. And on the guidance 2009 again, it's yes, it's organic growth. Number one, number three, number two. Yes, we stick 50%. We have good ideas, initiatives, both in cost saving as well and in efficiency, like price differentiation, like other things, where we feel we have the opportunities of coming and getting new product in and replacing the Euro piece that we had this year. So it's a challenge, but we're taking the challenge, and we are confident, and the new management team is confident that we meet those 2009 guidances.
Do I understand you correctly that on an adjusted basis, adjusted by Euro effect, you think that you can increase your EBIT from the 52-53 adjusted to up to 70 million next year?
Well, if you take the 64, and I think you're the other colleague
That's
of yours did it already, if you take 64 and add 15%, you get somewhere area of 72, correct? 72-73. Just taking the numbers as they are right now and as we feel about them right now.
And you start basically from the 52 or so adjusted by the Euro effect.
No. We're not adjusting them. No. I'm aware that that you can't have every year football championship, even though after this year I would love to have one. So we have to look for an alternative business and come up with the 72, which is not adjusting for the Euro, but coming from the 64 if we get them this year and adding another 15%. So that's the target for next year. Understood? Did I make myself clear? Okay. Number two, the product categories. We hadn't had a real big shift in any product categories in the kiosk business right now. As I said, the tobacco was slightly increased, press is slightly decreased, non-food was slightly increased because of the panini business, but it's all in margin. It's not in significant margins. The food business, which obviously was one of the key increase factors over the last years, has stabilized in the meantime. So food is more or less stable. Non-food was a little up, driven by panini and the Euro business. Tobacco was slightly up, and that's about the categories. And in terms of the principal trade business, Marcus, do you have any kind of assumption on that?
Well, I mean, you will appreciate that we cannot disclose, and we are not allowed to disclose, basically, turnovers by principle and say, okay, we have acquired principle X, Y, Z, and that brings us this and that turnover. But what we clearly expect is that we will be back on the growth path in the second half of the year, meaning that we compensate for the losses that we have occurred in the first half, and that we should come back to the for at least the second half of the year, the growth figures that you have experienced in the past.
Are these principles have an average size, or are they more significant than the average principal size?
They are above the average, but I could not tell you the average size of a principal. I mean, if you want to elaborate more on that, we might have a change in the course of next chat in the course of next week. But I couldn't tell you now average turnovers per acquired principals or anything like that.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from Mr. Markus Strittmatter from ZKB.
Yes,
Strittmatter.
Hi. Just a quick question on the income statement line. Other income, Sonstigertage, 5.3 million. Could you elaborate what that was?
There's two positions in there. One, we continue to show the revenue from the rental revenue from a number of real estate that still is in our portfolio on that line. And secondly, we actually won a court case out of a sale of a business unit 10 years ago and had an extra revenue there. As you know, IFRS doesn't allow you to show extraordinary revenue anymore, so we show it under ordinary revenue. But that was in the size was around 3 million.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from Mrs. Caroline Press from Caprice Management.
Hello.
Yes, hello. I have two questions. My first question is about the dissolution of the joint venture. Could you just explain how, practically speaking, that takes place? So do you buy out Migro, or do you just split up the number of outlets? Is there any cash impact? That's my first question. And my second question is regarding the systems, the IT systems that had been put in place, which would allow the company to have a much better idea of inventory in position. I think, if I recall correctly, you already were starting to benefit from knowing what your sales figures were on a real-time basis, but the inventory information was something that was still being worked on towards the end of last year, if I recall correctly, and I'm wondering if you're benefiting yet from that information. Thank you.
Marcus does the first one, I do the second one.
Okay, joint venture. The split up is it's the second of your two options. We basically split Cevanova up between Migro and us, basically saying you take those shops, we take those. We keep the brand AWEC, as you have read in the press release, and Migro will keep the company, the operating company. That's basically the deal. Secondly, we don't expect a huge cash impact. The split is more or less even, so there might be a small compensation payment for an imbalance when you value the two exit values, but overall there shouldn't be tons of millions that we have to pay or that we receive for getting out of the joint venture.
The discussions are still ongoing so far, so no, there hasn't been a finalization right now. On the inventory position, but we have two, I mean, obviously the IT systems is a big opportunity here in this company. We have, since spring, we have a new cash POS system on place, and we do have a big database now where we have daily numbers which we can use now for testing, for really finding out how which stores develop which way at least on a top line basis, which helps already, especially if you're thinking of testing new products, testing new ways of formats and these kind of things. What we don't have yet and where we're working heavily on right now is the having a closed system.
Closed circuit stock control system.
Closed circuit stock control system. We will have it in by beginning of next year. So by January 1st, we want to have this in place. And this will then obviously put us in a position as a, well, as a state-of-the-art retailer to have to know exactly what our inventory is, to, well, to have register-driven orders, to have all these kind of things. So today we all miss this, and this is obviously one of the big, well, issues today, but on the other side, one of the big chances for the future to become better and to have lower inventories, which helps, again, net working capital and working forward.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Mr. Björk Uven from Golden Peaks Capital.
Hello, gentlemen. I just had a very brief question to clarify what I heard before from Mr. Fergley. I heard that it was a high single-digit number outstanding from the sale of own brands, but if I look at the balance sheet on other short-term receivables of 160, there is an increase of 120 million. I was under the impression that that was due to the receivables from the own brand transaction. Am I wrong here, or could you please brief me on the 160, how is it allocated?
Yes, that's a big chunk of that is actually thanks to the receivable that comes out of the disposal, yes, but not all of it, obviously.
Could we give you detailed information on this after the conference call?
Yeah, sure, no problem. Thank you.
Marcus comes back to you on this one.
Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to remind you that if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. We now have a question for Mr. Urs Dietlem from Frank Oppenheim.
Yeah, hi, it's me again. You just mentioned before that retail is not only an issue regarding cost, but also an issue regarding growth, and you mentioned some initiatives like assortment and pricing. Can you give some indication what do you mean by pricing for retail? Thanks.
I mean, obviously, today we have one price overall, Switzerland, all time, all day, same price. Just give you just one indication.
Hello?
On the margin piece. So that's one of the things where we could work forward.
Sorry, I didn't get the whole answer, probably because the connection was interrupted.
Okay, once more. Today, you find the same product in all kiosks, all 1,000 kiosks, all day, every day, in the morning, in the evening, in all locations, to the same price. So starting and thinking about micro-pricing, both in terms of what time, weight, do you have an event, what kind of location do you have, what kind of competition do you have, you will get a significant amount in margin increase if you do it correctly.
Can you give me any example?
Well, I mean, if you have this Coke in the airport at the same price as in high competitive market, you might have a problem, because at the airport you could have a higher price and you probably need to have a lower price in a more competitive environment. So today we have same price everywhere.
Okay.
Next question comes from Mr. Alain Huber from MainFirst.
Yes, hello. Alain Oberhuber again from MainFirst. A follow-up question on trade about the profitability in the segment. When we split it up, the profitability, I assume, in Switzerland is pretty high. Last year, did you make a profit also abroad? And this year, at H1, given that margins declined, was the foreign business profitable?
We don't give you, I think, do we give details?
Sorry. No, but.
Sorry, I'm just we obviously just don't disclose any kind of profits by country, but I can tell you that we are profitable in all operations that we're having. There's not one operation where we're negative. And the margin decrease we're adding right now comes from pretty much all countries, because the kind of problems which I explained earlier, which is coming from raw materials, obviously is valid in Switzerland as well as in other countries. That answer your question?
Yes, thank you very much.
We have no further questions.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. Thank you, Thomas. Thank you, Marcus. And see you at the 24th of September in Mutten. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks.